The 100 Years' War, the Crecy Period, the Siege of Calais, Part 2. By the end of April 1347, Edward III finally was able to surround Calais. The second French supply fleet had entered the harbor at the beginning of the month. Shortly after, the English seized the Rise Bank, which was a narrow tongue of sand extending from the south and enclosed the harbor on the seaward side. At the end of it, opposite Calais, the English built a wooden fortification, on which they sighted cannons and other artillery, and put a garrison of 40 men-at-arms and 200 archers. Well, of the 120 large fighting ships that were promised to Edward by the English seaports, about two-thirds of them, about 80 of them, arrived by the end of April. They were immediately placed under the command of the Earl of Warwick. England now had control of the channel between Calais and the coast of Kent and Sussex. But as for the army reinforcements, well, progress was much slower. April 2, 1347, was the date fixed for the assembly of the transport fleet. The army was then supposed to board those ships on April 9 at three ports: the port of Sandwich, the port of Dover, and the port of Winchelsea. However, no one arrived by May except the personal retinues of a few noblemen. The problem, well, one of the big problems was the fact that this was a pretty huge and ambitious scale of government planning, and that caused most of the problems. Troop requisitioning didn't begin until February and then dragged on through the spring months and was still far from complete by the end of May of 1347. Food collecting was even slower. And then Edward's financial issues, which had been resolved in March, suddenly reappeared in May, because the shipmasters, the levies of troops from Wales, the levies of troops from counties, the people who had provided the food, they all demanded their money faster than Edward's collectors and bankers could find it. There were moments of great anxiety as well in Edward's camp, as news of Philip VI's progress traveled into the English camp. Now, it trickles in for the most part. It doesn't come in, and it's mostly inaccurate. It's always, he's going to be here really soon, and in reality, he's weeks away. Now, all the rumors were exaggerated simply by fear, as well as the respect that the English had for the French military efficiency, at least in the past. But after Crecy, things changed significantly as far as that efficiency is concerned. May was a month of acute alarm on both sides of the channel. On May the 14th, Philip VI was reported to have left Amiens, and the French were expected to attack Calais, or the English at Calais, on the 20th. But a week later, when the French reached Arras, the attack was then expected on May the 27th. In England, the council tried desperately to accelerate the collection of money. Emergency export duties, which were being paid directly to the army's paymasters, were now sold to London and Bruges bankers at a discount in return for ready money. There was another round of forced loans. Well-known merchants from all over England were summoned before the King's Council to make proposals for easing the King's financial difficulties. Commissioners passed from county to county extracting money from the monasteries. At Westminster, the cash was being placed on pack animals as soon as it was received and then taken to the ports to pay the troops. During this time, Henry of Lancaster was abruptly commanded to cross the channel with every available man ready or not. He left London and embarked with part of the army of reinforcement, which was several thousand men during the last days of May. The rest would follow in relays in June and in July. But Edward III had no conception of Philip's problems. I mean, the French had terrible difficulties too. Philip's major difficulty was that the Flemish had not been subdued by their defeats in April and May, nor did the defection of their commander bother them very much. On the contrary, the Flemish didn't melt away. They steadfastly reinforced their troops along both the Aa River and the Lys River with levies from the industrial towns. Hardly had one Flemish raiding force been repulsed from Lille by Charles de Montmorency than another larger Flemish force would appear in eastern Artois and march for Bethune. The Flemish were probably stronger now than they had ever been, and it's just driving Philip nuts. So he has issues too. I mean, he's having trouble raising troops. He's going to be stripping his garrisons in some cases. And of course, Edward, both sides think they're worse off than they really are. Because Edward is in France and is aware of the fact that there are a lot more Frenchmen than there are English available, but organizing them is a completely different thing. And the disaster of having disbanded existing armies after Crecy really is a problem for Philip. So he is meandering around trying to figure out what's going on. Then the Flemish, they've been just really, they haven't been anything. They were easily knocked off in the early stages of 1346 and the 47, and here they are again. Just aggravating, but it keeps Philip from moving on the English. It gives Edward the opportunity to get those reinforcements that he needs. And of course, now the city of Calais has received their last supply of food from that fleet that managed to get in there before the English fortified the end of the Rise Bank. So things are going to move along a little faster, but there's still a lot of question marks on both sides. And of course, this will end up in a truce. So we have a little ways to go before this is done. There's probably five more parts to this. And then we finish the Crecy period, and then we'll be heading into an interim period. An interim period, of course, caused by the bubonic plague. Now, the sources for this, you have the Hundred Years' War by Nylans, the Hundred Years' War by Perrois, and the Hundred Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.